we're going to welcome Barbara Perry, professor of government at the University of Virginia's Miller Center for Public Affairs, to the program this morning. Professor, good morning.
Good morning, John.
You kind of want to be a fly on the wall there at the Supreme Court today?
Oh, yes. I have to say I would love to be there at oral argument.
Well, it's an interesting issue, and the largest gender discrimination lawsuit in U.S. history will be before the Supreme Court today. It's the case of Dukes versus Walmart. Here's a statement the company made regarding their anticipation of this exact moment that's going to take place today. We are pleased that the Supreme Court has granted review in this important case. The current confusion in class action law is harmful for everyone, employers, employees, businesses of all types and sizes, and the civil justice system. These are exceedingly important issues, says Walmart, that reach far beyond this particular case. We look forward to the court's consideration of the appeal. And the legal issues we actually explored earlier this morning, you can go to thetakeaway.org and call up that segment. We talked with Professor Jeffrey Rosen and one of the plaintiffs and one of the plaintiff's attorneys. But Barbara Perry, I'm wondering if you think that it's historic that this large, very important, both class action suit, which has implications for businesses of all kinds, and this gender discrimination suit, which has implications for women workers all over the world, is of particular interest coming before a court with, for the first time in history, three female justices.
Well, it absolutely is historic for those very reasons that you mentioned, and that is that this is an unprecedented trio of women on the court. Finally, at least one-third of the court is female. And we know that it has been a highly male-dominated institution for many, many years. Now, having said that, we should point out that there have been cases going back to the early 1970s that finally went in the direction of women's rights and gender equity, generally speaking, for men and women, but particularly for women's rights, even when there were nine men on the bench. So being male doesn't indicate that a person is always against women's rights.
But this is one of those cases where the court will deliver surprises. I'm looking particularly at the background of Justice Sotomayor, who showcased her pro-business outlook philosophically in the confirmation hearings, and also her sense of empathy with protected classes that might include workers for Walmart. I would think that her body language and her questions are going to be of particular interest to legal scholars like yourself.
Well, they certainly will be, as well as Justice Ginsburg and certainly Justice Kagan. So all of the three women, I think we will all of us who observe the court will all be watching for what their questions seem to indicate, although it's not always the case that oral argument will give us a sense of where the court will ultimately decide. But I think Justice Sotomayor has been so open about the bias that she faced, mostly based on her ethnicity. She's not talked so much about gender bias that she faced, but she's been very open about the bias that she faced as a Latina.
Now, part of the argument in this case is Walmart's contention that not having an explicit policy at the local sort of store level meant that a pattern of discrimination would develop among presumably male, but just generally executives of the company, low-level executives at the company, who weren't told not to discriminate. Do you think that's going to be a powerful argument today?
Well, I think that the statistics don't lie, and that is, as I understand them, that about two-thirds of the hourly employees at Walmart are female, but fewer than 14% are store managers. And you couple that with what we see are discrepancies in salaries across the board, and I think you have a sense of what's going on at the local level. Now, of course, the store is going to argue that there are anti-discrimination policies in place from the top down, and that these cases would have to go on an individualized basis, and that's really where the sticking point is for the case today. Do these cases have to come individually from individual women who say, I have proof that I was discriminated against by my supervisor at my local store, or can it go as a class action suit for these thousands, maybe millions of women who've worked for Walmart since the late 1990s?
Now, the theory here, according to Barbara Perry, professor of government at University of Virginia, is that it's harder to make this two-thirds argument if you're just talking about the local five and dime, let alone a local a Walmart store, that even though the percentage is the same, when you look at it on a smaller scale, the argument is less persuasive. Why does the court make that distinction?
Well, they do because of the nature of the judicial process. In our country, at any rate, our judicial process governs, and that process says that cases should be taken on a case-by-case basis, and the facts must be developed in each case individually for each individual, and that once those facts are determined, then the law is applied to them. However, we know that going back even into the 1950s in the civil rights movement, that this concept of class action, whereby if people could prove that they were what the court calls similarly situated in a class, that they then should be allowed to bring forth their cases as a bundle, if you will,
right.
Sort of bundling the cases for this class of people. Because imagine trying to bring the civil rights cases, let's say involving school discrimination in the 1950s, with each individual student having to bring the case. You can see that that would be unworkable on that side.
Well, is there an option here then, and we only have a minute before the end, and it's perhaps the central argument of the case, is there an option whereby the court might rule that class action is too potent a weapon to use against businesses in the 21st century, but still endorse gender rights in the workplace?
I think it's going to be one or the other. Not to say that the court won't support gender rights at all, but that they're going to make a statement, I think, on the very procedural note that you mentioned, first of all.
A prediction on the part of this historic court with three women and also others?
I think it's going to be at least 5-4 for Walmart, but don't go by me. I had my team, Louisville Cardinals, going into the Final Four.
Barbara Perry, professor of government at the University of Virginia. Full disclosure there. She's at the Miller Center for Public Affairs in Charlottesville. Thanks so much.
Good to be with you, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.